Acts 11. Can you find Acts 11? Nathaniel practices a lot here in our school on the piano. So this morning, I just said, hey, you ready to play something in church? And you know what I liked? He said, yeah, sure. He was not hesitant. He didn't say, well, I don't know. I don't know if I can. He said, yeah, I can do that. And I says, well, what do you want to play? You got something? Yeah, he said, and he showed me the song. I said, yeah, sure. Then he comes up to me just before church. He says, the F key is sticking. I don't know what to do. F. I says, well, just, you know, do the best you can. That's all I can tell him. You know, I says, you want to play on this one? He says, oh, he feels more comfortable. He feels more comfortable on this one. This is what he plays and practices all the time. So, he didn't want to attack, the big one. Yeah, we got to get him over on that one a little bit more, but it was a blessing to see him do that and just without hesitation, just, yep. And so that's what we need. We need people willing to just serve the Lord without hesitation. Shouldn't have to hesitate and, I don't know if I can do that or not. But I don't know. Did you find Acts 11 yet? Are you sure? All right. Now see if you can find verse 22. Can you find verse 22? I was going to read the entire chapter, but for the sake of time, I'm not going to do that. Acts 11, verse 22. When you find it, stand, please. I will read it out loud. You just stand there quietly, all right? And follow along. Acts 11, 22, the Bible says, then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. They sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were first called Christians first in Antioch. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we could gather together today. It's good to be in church. Thank you, Lord, again for dying for this church, giving up your life for this place and shedding your blood for the church. Lord, you make it very clear that you are the founder of the church. You love the church and gave yourself for it. We see even in this passage, the Bible talks about an assembly. Lord, I thank you that we can assemble together here, together. Lord, the Bible commands us to assemble together. And so, Lord, thank you for that. I pray, Lord, right now that you would bless the message, use the scriptures, and Lord, please, use me for your honor and for your glory today. I'm not looking for any accolades. Lord, we want to give you all the glory and all the credit for everything that's said and done here today. I pray the Holy Spirit would work mightily with those that are here and those that may be listening online. I don't know who's out there, Lord, but I just pray that you would speak to hearts right now. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Every time I read a passage of Scripture, you probably do the same thing. You see things maybe that didn't, maybe you didn't see them. Maybe you saw them, but they just didn't really hit you. There's not too many people in the Bible that is referred to as a good man. Barnabas is called a good man here in this passage. I believe that Joseph of Arimathea was called a good man. And of course, we know that Jesus Christ was a good man. I think those are the only three that I can recall. I could be wrong. But it says there that for he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. Much people was added unto the Lord. They gathered together there in Antioch. Barnabas went and got the Apostle Paul, and Saul is his name here still, and brings him to the church of Antioch, and they assemble there for about a year. And they taught much people, and the disciples were called something that they had never been called before. They were called Christians first in Antioch. I titled this message, two words, True Christianity. I could not get this subject out of my mind the last two or three days. I actually was going to preach something completely different and much nicer. But I can't get this thought out of my mind or off my heart. I will say this. This is not a rebuke to you personally. This is a rebuke on today's Christianity. So, if the message, if you don't like it, if you think that I'm preaching to you or at you, please, this is nothing personal. All right? See the smile on my face? It's nothing personal. What's that? No. No, there won't be any honey or sugar on this one, I don't think. But I'm not doing this personally at somebody in the church. So I just wanted to make sure that we're clear on that. All right? And hopefully you'll shake my hand if you want to at the end of the service. But this is just a message. It really bothers me what I see going on in Christianity today. It really bothers me. And it should bother you too, if you're a true Christian. Paul here is brought to the church. He's still in his early stages of being saved. He's still growing and learning. But Paul was in church. Paul assembled with the other Christians in church. This is where they gathered in those days. And many times they didn't have a nice church house like this. They met in somebody's house. Somebody's living room. Somebody's in a house. Many of the churches were just house churches. That's where they started. And then they would get into a bigger area and get into a different building. And we see that a lot today going on still in many parts of the world. Many of our missionaries go out and they start a church in their house. And then from there, they look for property. They look for a building to either rent or to buy. And then eventually they get that church going and they branch out, and then hopefully they start another church and go off and another church. And that's what missionaries seem to be doing, and that's the right thing to do. What is real, true Christianity? Don't answer me. I don't want you to. I will tell you what real, true Christianity is today. Christianity is a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what true Christianity is. They said there, or it says there in this passage of Scripture in verse 26, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Christian. What is a Christian? What is the definition of a Christian? A Christian is Christ-like. Pretty simple, really. That's what a Christian is, Christ-like. A Christian is to act like Jesus Christ. Talk like Christ. Act like Christ. Do what Christ would do. There's other names for Christians in the Bible. Disciple is another name for a Christian. A disciple is somebody that's dedicated to a service. We have disciples. We have apostles. But disciple is a general name for Christians. We have the name believer. In the Bible, primarily in the New Testament. But we see that a believer is somebody that has put his faith or her faith and trust in Jesus Christ. We see the word saint mentioned throughout Old Testament and New Testament. I think even more in the Old Testament, that the term saint is a position held with God. That's what a saint is. Once in a while, you might see where saint is referred to as an angel, but primarily a saint is an individual, a human being that's a believer in God. Old Testament, they were a believer in the Lord Jehovah God. New Testament, it's a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what a saint is referred to in scriptures. We have the term brethren mentioned many times throughout the Bible. Primarily New Testament. That's just simply members of Christ's body, members of Him. That's who the brethren are. Now, we could argue and say, well, the word Christian is not found in the Old Testament. Exactly true. But saint is mentioned there. The righteous is mentioned there. What other names are given for believers in the Old Testament? Saints, the righteous, part of God's family, God's children. There's several different names or references to various individuals throughout the Bible that refer to God's people. We are God's people. a Christian, a born-again believer, is God's people. Christianity is a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Christianity centers around and upon Jesus Christ. That's what Christianity is to center on. A Christian is a follower of Christ. We have committed our lives to Him. A true Christian has committed their life to following, to walk with Christ, and to follow Christ as He walked. That's what a real Christian is. During Sunday school, the teacher asked her class of first graders if anyone could describe a Christian. A little boy quickly raised his hand and stated, "Christians are nice people who never complain, argue, or talk back." He then added, "My daddy is a good Christian, but my mommy isn't." That was his definition of what a Christian was. Probably could be some truth in that. Or could be the other way around. My mommy's is a good Christian, but my daddy isn't. We are seeing a trend in this country that is very dangerous. We blame the devil for a lot of things, don't we? It's the devil's fault because of this, and the devil this, and the devil this. And we come up with all of these things that the devil has done. And he has done a lot of horrible, wicked things. He is wicked, period. But I do believe that one thing that the devil has done that is destroying our churches and Christianity today, it is creeping into our lives, and it's creeping into our churches, and people aren't recognizing it. Lester Roloff used to say the worst thing that ever happened to America was the three sewer lines that came into America, ABC, NBC, and CBS. Got to say amen to that, Lester. Amen. Probably the worst thing that ever happened to this country is television. And Lester Roloff used to say that and used to preach that many, many years ago. And again, I would say amen to that. However, something else has happened that not too many people are recognizing today, and not too many preachers are preaching about this, is that Christianity has become a convenience religion. Amen. Just say amen and agree with me, because you'll see where I'm going with this. Christianity has become a convenience, listen, religion. Yes, religion. That's what Christianity has become in America. It's a convenience thing. You get your get out of hell free card. Then you can do whatever you want. You can live your life the way you want to live it. You don't want to go to church, you don't have to go to church. Hey, I'm going to heaven. I'm not going to hell. If you don't want to read your Bible, it's no big deal. If you don't want to pray, you only pray when you have to, when you're in trouble, then you pray, right? But it's become a convenience religion. And we even see it in our Bible-believing churches, that Christianity has become a convenience over real, true conviction. And you know how we know that? It's the way people live their lives. It's the way people react to things. That's how we know Christianity has become a convenience religion. We have an online service for people that can't come to church. Can't. I say can't come to church. But even that's become a convenience. Yeah? Yeah? It's become a convenience. And that's the way our Christianity has become today. It's become a convenience religion. I'll do something if I want to do it. We always say that. I say that a lot. I believe that. I see it. And I've said this before in church. You will do what you want to do. You will go where you want to go. You will buy what you want to buy. That's the way we are. We are just natural. That's the way we are. If you want to go somewhere bad enough, you're going to go. Amen. You don't want to go to church? You don't have to go to church. And the preacher even said, I don't have to go to church. No, you don't have to go to church. We get to go to church. I see in the Bible only people gathering and assembling themselves together. Jesus didn't have a virtual online service in those days. He gathered his disciples together in an assembly, whether they wanted to or not. They gathered in churches as assemblies, whether they wanted to or not. And it was something that they just did. They attended faithfully. And I got to tell you, and I think that you'll agree, that when you read the book of Acts, these guys weren't focused on convenience. Amen. You think John the Baptist was focused on convenience? I don't think so. You think the Apostle Paul was focused on convenience? Absolutely not. I don't think any of the disciples and the apostles of that early day, of that early church, was ever focused on convenience. Because they knew what they should do as a Christian, and they got the name because of the way they acted. They did not say, hey, we're coming up with a new name. We are now, call us Christians, please. That's not what they did. They got called Christian because of who they resembled. They resembled Jesus Christ and His Word and His way. That's how they got the name. They didn't give it to themselves. I go to the Old Testament and I see believers in the Old Testament that didn't base their following of God Almighty, the Jehovah God, based on their convenience. Noah, when he was told to build the ark, he just built the ark. He didn't call up another ship manufacturing company and say, hey, would you come and build this ark for me? He got his, whatever he used, a hammer or whatever it is, and he got up there with his sons and they built the ark. And after 120 years, I would have gotten tired of it probably after 6 months. I would say, come on, we got to get this thing built, or let me order one on Amazon. Right? Just Amazon. What's her name? Donazon. Yeah, just this Donazon. Just, or Susanna-san. Suzanne's always a, some people are always on buying stuff from Amazon. Noah could have said, let's just buy it on Amazon and have it delivered here. No, that wasn't the way it was going to be. And you go through the Old Testament, you see the people, the men and the women that just follow God and serve God, they didn't do it for convenience purposes. Joseph, do you think he just spent 13 years or so in prison because it was the convenient thing to do of the day? Of course not. Daniel, it would have been much more convenient for him to go find a secret place to pray than instead of opening up his window and praying out loud so that the other guys outside of his walls could hear him. And probably no Christian today would ever blame him for that. But he, nope. And he just let it rip. And it cost him going into the lion's den. That was not convenient. But God's turned it all around. And I'm telling you, he had to, those lions put Mike Lindell and his MyPillow to shame. How many of you have a MyPillow? Look at that. A lot of us have a MyPillow. But those lions were much better than MyPillow. How about Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It would have been much more convenient for them just to bow down, look around, make sure nobody else is looking, and just bow down to that golden statue when the music played, and let it go with that. Oh, Lord, please forgive me. I know that I shouldn't be doing this, but Lord, it's okay. They didn't do that. They stood there when the music played, and they were threatened. Nebuchadnezzar gave them another chance. Yeah, you bow down at the sound of the music, and we'll let you go. Probably most of us would have said, okay, I like that idea. But no, they didn't do that. They stood there. And they were thrown into the fiery furnace. But the Lord was with them. Esther, Ruth, Hannah, Samuel, David, Moses, name them all. Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, all of the prophets. They didn't look at their Christianity as something that was convenient. They were looking at God Almighty and realizing, if this costs us our life, we're willing to do it. Christianity today. I probably am correct in this by saying this, that many of us probably would fail today if we were faced some of the same challenges that some of those men and women of the Old Testament and New Testament as they faced them. I don't know. Some would rise to the occasion and be true Christians. But I'm telling you, what I see going on in America today, and not only in America, but primarily in America, is worrying not just me, but other pastors too. As we see many empty chairs, some are because people just can't be in church. But some of these chairs could have been filled today with people that could have come if they really wanted to. Amen. Again, you will do what you want to do. Let me give you some things that Christianity is not. Right off the bat, I wrote this down. Christianity is not convenience. Sorry, it's not convenience. Christianity is not confusion. God is not the author of confusion. We should not be confused on our beliefs. If we're in the Word of God, if we're praying, if we're in church, we should not be confused on the things that are going on in the world. We don't even have to be confused about the government, about the virus. We don't have to be confused about any of that stuff. I know God is in control, and I'm trusting the Lord to get us through this mess that we're in. Christianity is not covetousness. We covered that in Sunday school. Christians should not be coveting everything that they look upon. Christianity is not comfortableness. Is this Christianity? You can answer this, and I think you know the answer, but is Christianity is either a playground or it's a battleground? And it's not a playground. But a lot of Christians look at Christianity as a playground. We'll go to the playground, have some fun, and go home and just enjoy ourselves. It's a battleground. Battle. We have a battle going on in our lives every single day of our life. And some of us get up in the morning, we don't even put the whole armor of God on, and we go out into the battle. But Christianity is not just being comfortable all the time. But you know what we really like? Is our comforts. We like our comforts. And don't sit there and say you don't, because you do. You like your comforts. And our comforts have become a god to us. Our comforts, your comfort will leave you at home instead of coming to church at times. Not saying you personally, I'm just, again, remember this is not personal. But your comforts will allow you to do things that maybe you know you shouldn't do. Christianity is not commercialism. We shouldn't commercialize our Christianity. But so many do today. Christianity is not competition. We should not be competing with one another individually, and we should not be competing with another church. So it's not, I'm not in competition with the church in the next town or the next county or whatever. Christianity is not condemning one another either. I wrote this down for number 8. Christianity is not complicated. A lot of people are making it complicated. But Christianity is not a complicated thing. It's spelled out in the Word of God. We know what a Christian is. It's right here. They were called Christians first in Antioch. Not complicated. Christianity is not compromising with the world, the flesh, or the devil. It's not compromising. You either take a stand for God or you don't. Christianity is not conformity to the world. And yet we are looking more and more like the world all the time. Christianity is not cowardness. You don't cower when something happens. You take a bold stand for God. You take a stand for righteousness and you say, I'm not moving. That cowardness goes along with being filled with fear. Again, some people are scared to death of this virus. Why? Okay, I know what it can do. And we see that. I understand that. But we have been filled with this thing of fear in our lives, and fear is controlling this country. Christianity is not being a coward. I don't see any cowardness in Paul. Even Peter, I did, before the Holy Spirit got a hold of him. He denied the Lord 3 times. But after that, watch out. Peter was a different man. I don't see cowardness in John the Baptist. Come on, we can name them all. I don't see any cowardness in Barnabas. What is Christianity? Let me give you several things that Christianity is. Turn over to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, look at verse 32. Again, we are I believe that we're in a dangerous situation here in this country. I want to see a revival. I believe with all my heart that a revival could take place. Yes, even in these last days, some people argue, no, there'll never be a revival. No, what are you doing? What are you saying? Well, if you want to think that God can't bring about a revival, then you go ahead and think about that. But I really believe that God could, if He wanted to. And if Christians and Christianity became by the Word of God and not by how you think or how the world thinks about what a Christian should be and how a Christian should look and how a Christian should act. If every Christian in America got their hearts right and became a New Testament Christian as mentioned in the Bible, what do you think God could do in this country? What do you think God could do in a church if everybody got their hearts right and said, you know what, I'm not compromising anymore. I'm getting away from the convenience stuff. I'm just going to do what God wants me to do. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33, it says, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Christianity is very simply, number one, it's confession. It's confession. I said earlier that Christianity has become this get out of hell free. Even in our soul winning. Guys were talking about this earlier before the men's prayer breakfast, but even in soul winning, we have gotten to the point where, and you won't find this in the New Testament, this thing with just trying to get somebody out of hell. Now, hell's mentioned in the Bible, but every time somebody got saved, the soul winner didn't come up to them and say, and I'm not against this, please understand, okay, I'm not against this. But the soul winner didn't come up to the individual and say, now, if you were to die today, do you know where you'd spend eternity? The soul winner came up and talked Jesus Christ and brought the Lord into the picture. And the soul winning of the New Testament, completely different than the soul winning of today. I'm not downing churches and people and preachers, and I've done it and you've done it. I'm not downing that. I'm just saying, I think that we ought to look at the way we do things. And I think that we need to get back to a New Testament view of how things are done. Philip came up to the Ethiopian eunuch, and he was already reading the Bible out of Isaiah, but Philip just preached Christ to him. Did you know that Philip never brought up hell to the Ethiopian eunuch? Ananias brought the message of salvation to the Apostle Paul 3 days after his road to Damascus experience. And we could argue when Paul got saved. I think he got saved 3 days later, personally, by when Ananias simply told him about Jesus Christ. He had already met him and he talked to him on the road to Damascus, but it doesn't mean that Paul actually got saved right there on the road to Damascus. Study out Acts chapter 22, and I think that you'll see that. Many people that got saved in the Bible simply realized that they were a sinner and that Jesus died for them on the cross, and they believed in Jesus Christ. It's just confession. It's confessing who Jesus is. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. Salvation is confessing Jesus Christ. That's what true Christianity is. Amen. It's confessing Jesus Christ. Now, I know you people will argue, well, we gotta use different means. We gotta scare them into heaven. You don't have to scare them into heaven. You don't have to scare them out of hell and scare them into heaven. I know that people get saved that way. I'm not refuting that. I'm just saying, wait a minute. We need to look at what the Bible says here. It says, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men. Christianity is confessing Jesus Christ to other people. That's what Christianity is all about. You give out a gospel tract. You're confessing, you're helping, you're witnessing, you're inviting somebody to church so they can hear the message. You're part of that. But the focal point in people getting saved in the New Testament, the focal point was always Jesus Christ. Peter goes to Cornelius and preaches 217 words, and he preached Christ to Cornelius. And Cornelius got saved. Nothing mentioned about hell there. Right? Still with me? Christianity is simply confession. Confessing Jesus Christ. That's what Christianity is all about. Romans chapter 12, here's another thing. Romans 12. Christianity is commitment. Commitment. You know the verses. I can't find Romans. Somebody stole it out of my... There it is. You just put it back. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Christianity is a commitment. You know, we have a problem today with that word, commitment. Some people think they're committed, but you often wonder, are they really committed? Romans 12, 1 and 2, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Christianity is a 100% sold out commitment to Jesus Christ. You know what I see in the New Testament? Disciples and apostles totally sold out to Jesus Christ. That's what I see. That's what you see when you read the Bible. What do I see in the Old Testament? I see saints of the Old Testament totally sold out 100% to the Lord God Jehovah. And nothing was going to stop them from serving their God. But in Christianity today, everything stops people from serving God. Yes. Your TV shows. The weather. Super Bowl, whatever. I mean, things are constantly coming into people's lives, Christians today, that are hindering Christians from serving God. They're allowing other things to creep into their life that is a commitment, like it or not, but it's a commitment, and we have strayed from committing ourselves to Jesus Christ wholly, 100%. Christianity is supposed to be a commitment. The best way that you can tell to be a Christian is read the Bible and look at these people that were committed to God and say, I want to be like that. Jesus Christ himself was committed to his Father in heaven. Prayed about everything. Not my will, but thine be done. Even before going to the cross, he asked for God's will to be done. Jesus Christ was completely committed to his Father. Paul, I believe, was totally committed to the cause of Jesus Christ. I believe Peter was. James and John. James lost his head in Acts chapter 12. How about Stephen? Stephen in Acts 7? You know, convenience could have just said, hey guys, you're all doing great, I'll see you later. But no, he stood up and he preached the entire Old Testament to them. And then he brings Christ into the picture and they hated him. They wanted him killed, and they did. They killed him. So many examples in the Bible. I look at those examples and I say, where are we today? What is going on with our churches and our Christianity today? There's very little confession. There's very little commitment today. We allow everything else to affect our lives and the decisions that we make. Go over to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 35. You thought I was going to go to 25, didn't you? I probably should. Yeah. The third thing I wrote down is Christianity is confidence. Confidence in what? No. Not confidence in what? Confidence in who? Confidence in Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 10. The Bible says in verse 35, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Now, come on, be honest. Who do you think Paul was referring to here? Having confidence where? In Christ. We are to have confidence in Jesus Christ. He did everything for us on the cross. He is doing everything for us right now. He's our advocate. He's our mediator. He's our go-between. He loves you and I. He wants us to serve Him. Remember what I said a little while ago. Christianity is serving the Lord. It's being sold out to Christ. That's what Christianity is supposed to be. You're not selling out to the church. You're not selling out to the preacher. You're selling out to Christ. That's what Christianity is. And it's having some confidence. People get so worried and scared. Oh, Pastor, what are we going to do? We got to wear two masks now. Three masks. Pretty soon we got to just put a plastic bag over our head and tie it real tight. They would be happy. Washington probably would be happy with that. Just put one of those, put a bag over here and tie it real tight. That way you'll keep all the air in. But what happens when the air goes? Well, no, don't worry about that. You'll be fine after the air goes away, right? But that's people are scared to death. People, they won't go to church because they're scared. Oh, what if I go to church and get corona? Well, what if you come to church and get the sniffles? Or what if you come to church and get on fire for God? That'd be good. Amen. But that's what we're there now. We're in that area. Scared to death. No confidence in God. No confidence in His Word. No confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John 2:28. 1 John 2:28. Now, let me just back up real quick and just say this, okay? I know people are scared of the virus. I'm not afraid of it. Amen. If I get it, I get it. Amen? Amen. If I get the flu, I get the flu. I don't take shots. Amen. I don't take vaccinations. I got vaccinated when I was a little kid. They gave me, I don't know, two or three, and that's all. Now they give kids like 70-some-odd vaccinations or whatever they do. And It's incredible. No, I don't get vaccinated. I've been vaccinated by the Lord, and I figured whatever His will is, that's what will happen. If He wants me to get the coronavirus, go ahead, stick me with all those needles, and I'll probably still get it if He wants. Right? How many people are getting the COVID-19 after they get zapped? I mean, I've been hearing people getting the virus right after they get the vaccination. And there's so much confusion about it. It's incredible. We have very little confidence in God today. God can't take care of us. God can't watch over us. You really think that if you You know it's God's will to come to church, right? Will you say amen to that one? And anyway, yes. It's God's will that you're in church. And if you're so scared of getting a virus, don't you think maybe the Lord might take care of you? First John 2:28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and be not ashamed before him at his coming. I think there's going to be a lot of Christians, listen to me, a lot of Christians that are going to be ashamed at the coming of Jesus Christ. I say this often, and I hope he does. I hope he comes on a Wednesday night prayer meeting, right in the middle of prayer meeting. Finding us in church praying. That'd be a good time for the Lord to come. If you're sitting home watching your TV, shame on you. You'd be ashamed, I think. Romans 8:37. I'm trying to hurry. May have to pick up tonight. Romans 8. Christianity is confession. Christianity is commitment. Christianity is confidence in the Lord. Not confidence in you, but confidence in the Lord. And fourthly, Christianity is a conquering attitude. Conquering. Look at 8:37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Where do we get our conquering spirit from? Jesus Christ. Did you notice something today that the common denominator in this message is Jesus Christ? Amen? Right? Christianity is, it revolves around Jesus Christ. Your life, your breath, your words, your thoughts, your motives should revolve around Jesus Christ. Not around fear and despondency and all kinds of other things. No, it's to revolve around Jesus Christ. We should have a conquering spirit. Paul said we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Through Him. Look at John 14:13. John 14:13. Christianity is connection. Christianity is connection. Connection, what do you mean? Well, look at this. It says in 1 John 14:13, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do. Do you pray? We sang that song a little while ago, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Do you pray? Nobody's telling you got to pray an hour a day. Some people have plenty of time, and so they can pray an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, whatever time you have to pray. The question is not how long do you pray, what's your quality of prayer? How is your prayer life? Do you have a prayer life? You pray. Do you pray? Do you pray seriously? Is there a connection between you and God? There should be, there better be, and as a real Christian, there will be a real connection between you and the Lord. It's like that telephone. Nowadays we have these things. We have our smartphones. It's so much smarter than I am. But it used to be the old days, there was a phone line. You used to be able to pick up that phone and that was the olden days. Dial that number, right? We had an old dial number. And then we'd wait and then the person on the other line hopefully would answer. There was a connection there. And that connection was all through the phone line. Now it's all through satellites and, you know, whatever's up there. Always amazes me that we could all... How many of you have a cell phone right now? Raise your hand if you have a cell phone. Okay. How many of you have it with you right now in church? Okay. Most of you have a cell phone in church. Right now, if we all dialed somebody else, you know who you'd get? You'd get somebody else. It always amazes me, in the same room, if we all dialed our cell phones, it would be, how in the world, how does that do that? I don't know how it does it. I don't understand all that, but it does it. I could call right now, I could call Judd over there. Judd Luffman. I got another Judd on the line up here, but I could call Judd over there, and Jim could call his son Earl, and Jim and Earl could talk, and me and Judd can talk, and there'd be no interference. And yet it's going through the same air in the room. The thing that always blew my mind is faxes. I put a paper in here, and it shows up over there. And yet my paper came back to me. That to me is like, wow, how did that happen? Well, that's, you know, technology. Computers today, it's incredible. Things like that kind of make my little brain, and I have a very little brain, just ask my wife, she'll tell you how. But it just kind of makes my brain guy like, wow, that's pretty neat. I told you about the one, you know, the other day that our sister-in-law just got on her smartphone and started her car. And I told you the story how I went online yesterday. And why can't I do that? I went on Mazda's website and I downloaded the app. I want to start my car from my phone. Doesn't work. So I have an old car. Before the technology. But that's where we are today. We're in this convenience mode, and we want to be so convenienced. God forbid if you can't find the remote of that thing in your living room. Good grief. When the grandkids are over and I'm looking for, where's the remote? Can't even turn this stinking TV on without a remote nowadays. I don't know how to turn it on. I got to have this little black thing. I got to push the button. I don't know what else to do. And yet it's disappeared. Every remote ought to come with a siren on it. And you ought to be able to have a button that you push somewhere to find that remote. It's underneath the couch. It's in the cushions. It's in the other room. Why can't they just pick it up, turn it on, and set it down? God forbid that we lose our remotes. Oh no, I'm out of coffee for my Keurig. Oh no, what do I do? God forbid that I should run out of a K-cup. That is awful. I have a drip one. But the K-cup is much more convenient. But that's what our Christianity has become. Our Christianity has become like the Keurig machine and the remote control and the smartphone and our cars that you get in and it looks like an airplane inside the airplane. I got all these buttons. I don't even know half of the buttons that I have in that car. But it does all these things. It's like, wow, that's our convenience. And our Christianity has become that way also. I want to push a button and I want to know everything that God has for me to learn in the Bible. And we just push a button. God, why can't I just push a button and have all that knowledge just, you know, jump off the page and go into the brain? But we can't do that. He wants us to read and study and pray. God, why can't I just push a button and have all my prayers answered? Just give me a button to push. That's what we want. We want the convenience of pushing a button. It's called 7-Eleven religion. Convenience store religion. Fast food for the Christian. Where was I? I'm just looking at the clock. Hang on. Calm down. Lord, help us. Christianity today is not like it was 2,000 years ago. Oh, I think it's gotten better, really. Well, it'd be nice if it did, but I don't see it. I don't see it in some of us, some of you, in me. I don't see it. I see that I've myself, listen, let's be honest. We've fallen into the trap of convenience. It's just more convenient. One of these nights, I'm just staying in the house. I'm going to say, hey, I'm just going to watch it online today. Nobody gets up here. I'll just sit there and stare at a screen with the cross and the pulpit and nobody behind it. Right? I mean, I've threatened you with that before. But I've never done it yet. I say yet. 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 Yeah, I know you do that. Well, I'm going to start coming and getting you. I'm going to jump in that white van if I know you're not. I'm going to start showing up at your house, blowing the horn until you come outside. Try to explain that to your neighbors. Who's the crazy nut in that white van blowing the horn? Oh, it's just a preacher coming to get me. That's what I should do. I just might start doing that. I know where you all live. I've got your address. I got a GPS right in this little fancy smartphone right here. I can come and some of you I know where you live, and others I can find you real easy. But folks, we can laugh and joke around, and I you know me, I like to do that. But let's get serious about this thing. Are you, I'm talking now personally, are you a serious Christian? I mean a serious Christian. Can you look at your life and say, you know what? Yeah, my life is pretty close to the life of the New Testament Christians. And maybe it is. Praise God. You can pat yourself on the back and we'll give you an attaboy. But I don't really see it that much. I don't even see it in me sometimes. Do you know I like convenience just like the rest of you? Amen. Give me my K-cups and I'm happy. Let me find the remote when I want it. Let my car start when I want to get in it and go somewhere. I want my conveniences just like you do. But when it comes to Christianity, we need to forego the conveniences and say, Lord, what am I doing for you? What am I really doing for you? Do what I'm doing for you, does it really matter who wins the Super Bowl tonight? Really? Does God, I'll be careful of this, because some of you sports fans would say yes to this, but does God really care who wins the Super Bowl tonight? Sometimes I have people, hey, will you pray for the Yankees? Come on, we got to pray. We got to pray that they win. We got to pray that this team wins. We got to, I'm sorry, I don't do that. Okay. If you ask me to pray about something that's serious, I'll pray about that. But I'm not going to pray that your team wins the whatever. I don't know if God really cares about that. I think that God really cares about how we are as Christians. And if you stay home tonight to watch the Super Bowl, I hope your TV goes boom. Yes. I can't even turn mine on without the remote. I wish I could sneak in all of your houses and steal your remotes. That would be I would have this box of remotes. That is a great thank you. God, that's a great idea. Did you give me that idea? Sneak in the middle of the night. I'll take Brennan with me in case one of you guys get up and gets mad. Brennan, run in there, please. Grab that remote. Of course, we don't know where your remotes are, so it's going to be quite a search throughout your house. Most of you don't either. Oh, my goodness. I didn't want any laughing today. I didn't want... And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians, first in Antioch. Not because they gave them their own names, but they were called that because of the way they acted, because of the seriousness in their Christian walk with the Lord. How's yours? How is your walk with the Lord, and how is your Christianity? Would you say that God is happy with the way that you are conducting yourself as a Christian? And if your answer is yes, then keep right on doing whatever it is you're doing. if it's an honest yes. Do you ever notice we justify about everything we do? And we can excuse anything. We are the kings and queens of excuses and justifying what we do. Well, but preacher, you don't understand. This is, okay, that's fine. You do what you want to do. You justify it and you excuse it. That's fine. I do the same thing, right? We all do that. But God help us. God help us when we're not serious for Him. Father, thank you, Lord, for the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Please, Father, help us. We need to be serious Christians. This convenience Christianity religion that we see today is, I believe, it's destroying our churches. It's even destroying our land. It's destroying families. It's destroying people.